Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75, 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You know, even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
I'm Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box going to get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Because I used to observe that a lot of those shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there and looking for jobs, that's usually why we move. And the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do.
But we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that if you... Sometimes you are right alongside of a railroad track. You see trains passing
that
as you are driving.
That is true.
Down a superhighway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build little shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took them out, took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done. I'm old enough to remember many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. They would get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some, all right? They were excellent, solid houses that could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them, and there were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. We're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything except stand in front of a place that is built and big, because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with their hands.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Today's, I don't know what's going to, well, we're going to go where it goes. I have late radio and leverage, but we'll see where that goes. Let's go to the phone lines here. But before I go to the phone lines, I'm up here navigating a couple of things. And then I'm on a phone, a laptop, and a smartphone. Okay. And 773-685, I'm getting ready to come to you as soon as my laptop. Wait a minute. Let's see. All right, well. All right, I'm just counting the seconds here. And I got a, man, a click on my phone. I don't know what's going on here. Okay. Okay, 773-658, your mic is open.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, fine. Okay. Hold it. You're on that line, Reba. Reba, are you there? Press 1 if you are. Okay, yeah. Now I'm straight. Okay, now we got both mics open. So, Reba, hold on, man. We're going to come back to you in about 45 seconds. Let's go to Reba. I'm putting names in this thing. So, good morning, Reba.
Buenos dias. ¿Cómo estás?
Okay.
You got a response? ¿Cómo estás?
I got a brain lock right now. Let's see. Let me work on it. I'm going to get back to you. It'll be slow, though.
Okay. Well, I'm actually
muy bien.
There you go.
Muy bien. That's what I got for you right now.
Okay. Un trabajo hizo. Good job. Yeah. I am actually getting ready to go into a meeting at 10 o'clock. So I'll be able to speak for about 10 minutes or so. I community peace program. So we got some things coming up, and I'll share after our meeting. So, and Mama Evelyn has joined us. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for letting me speak. Brother.
And good morning,
LA,
Mama Evelyn.
Yes. How y'all doing?
So
good morning.
We're interviewing you this morning while Reba goes to, because she's due their meeting with 8 minutes, so she's probably got to be there a little bit early. I don't know. But,
okay.
All right, well, Mama Evelyn, we talked to you a little bit last week, so let's get more of the story today. And then, like I say, I'm interested in, I'm in Florida, so I'm interested in, I can't do anything short term for next month, but I'm interested in, participating for next year. I don't know if you have any dates set for next year, but anyway, let's introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
Oh, a bunch of stuff now. My name is, they call me Mama Evelyn or Mama E. My name is Evelyn Johnson. I've been doing community work since the 70s. I have over 1 million hours of volunteer service in my community. I have written programs to do family reunification. Right now, I do grief counseling. I'm a community listening ear. So, and like, I had a call last night with a young person that lasted for 4 hours.
Woo.
Okay, and no, I don't get paid. That's the reason I retired 5 years early, because there was too many things that I was finding in social service agencies that were designed to harm our communities and not help them. And that's just like people in the Chicago had. They got one of the hardest working state reps that we done had in our community. And now the FOP done decided they need to get her out because she's getting too many bills passed that help our community. And I wish I could vote for Sonia Harper, but I can't. But it ought to be people who be trying to keep her in office, since she's been working hard since she was a teenager in the community.
Okay.
But we talked about reclaiming our youth day. And no, I do not mind calling people out when they ain't doing what they supposed to. Okay, and I hope that somebody do it for me if they see me doing something I ain't got no business.
Right.
You know, but Reclaiming Our Youth Day, it's based on scriptures from Titus, and an old woman shall lead them.
Mm-hmm.
and the prodigal son. And at one time in the community, even say you went to jail and you came home, the community would welcome you back with open arms and try to devise a plan with you to hope that you never went back again. Something happened to us in the late 70s and early 80s. All of the things that we had learned to thrive and survive, we stopped doing because we started listening to what they were saying on the TV and the radio. Okay? We
right.
even put a negative spin on the word nigger when they don't know that that word was used in slavery because of the locations that certain slaves came from.
Oh, I like to hear that backstory. I never knew about that.
Well, then go and look. Google the River Naja. And I'm probably not pronouncing it right, but that's where the word nigger came from. There were slaves that they captured off the River Niger, and that's what they started calling them.
All right, well, that makes sense
because
I know there's a country called
Niger. Because they did not want us to know our history. They put a negative spin on it, and we accepted it. So we have to worry about educating our children. We used to speak life in the children wherever we, I still do. And I speak it to all young people that I see, not just the ones I know, because that's the way I grew up. When the elders saw you, they say, ooh, and I'm just using this as an example. Ooh, your eyes are shining bright. You're going to be a guiding light. You made me lead our people to new heights. All we got to do is look and listen and believe. They would tell the children to come up with, help them come up with affirmations. You know what my favorite is?
Which is?
I look in the mirror. I look in the mirror every morning, and I say, I love you because God loves you, and it ain't nothing you can't do as long as you believe in God and you.
Well,
we had plenty of things that helped us survive and grow that we stopped doing I'm going to say early 80s, okay? We stopped doing it. We decided we wanted to be like them when all along we was better than them because everything that they owned that it stole from us because they wouldn't give us the patents for them. We need to go back to self. They have miseducated us so long. We are the only group of people who separate ourselves from each other, not because we serve God, but how we choose to serve God. When the only question you need to ask a person, you know what that is?
What's
that? Do you believe that there is one true God? And if that person says yes, that's all you need to know. You ain't supposed to ask if you say God, Allah, Jehovah. Because guess what? If you was in China, you would call God by another name anyway, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's true. They speak a different language.
That's it. So we are the only ones that allowed them to teach us because I'm Christian and you Muslim, we can't work together. We are the only group of people that will take 98% of our dollars and spend them with everybody else but each other. And Reclaiming Our Youth Day is about teaching our children, spend your money with people who look like you and you can grow. We do a program called Pennies with a Purpose that I'm trying to, well, I used to do it in the past. I'm trying to reinitiate it. And it's about teaching young people to grow their money. Pennies with a Purpose. You got children, grandchildren? Tom?
Not me. No, not me.
Okay.
I don't.
But you got, do you have children in your family?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay, try this idea with them. Get 3 containers. Label 1 requirement. Don't never say need because you don't want them raising up thinking that they need it. But there are things that you are required to pay. You're required to pay your mortgage or your rent, your light bill, your gas bill, buy groceries. Those are your requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you put one for the future. And if it's a child, you can say, okay, well, you're saving to buy you a car, to buy you some stocks, to buy some property, but it's money to use in the future. And then you label one me. And once a year, you put all of that money towards the different categories they were started. And usually the parents would use, and this was my suggestion to them, it's money that they earn doing stuff because, you know, they got to have a job or they got to own their own business. So if you got a young man in the family and he see his elder neighbor always taking her groceries in the house or shoveling her snow in the window or cutting her grass, and you say, okay, this is for you. So when you get that to him, then you teaching him the same thing he would learn if he had a job, to separate it. And even as a child, those requirements, the one that says requirement, well, you know he ain't paying no rent, but he could be buying a pair of shoes for school or a T-shirt or a book because that's something that's required. And when the media, that's you allow him to buy whatever they want to buy. Okay, I had one that was about $100 worth of candy, and I told his mom, I said, he earned that. He can't eat $100 worth of candy at one time, and he might share it with his sisters and brothers and his friends, which he ended up doing because that was one of the things that he learned how to do from saving was sharing with his siblings. But we have to put things back in place that helped us to grow.
Now, give me the three envelopes again because I'm putting this in my notes. The one's requirements,
you're putting
right?
What?
One
is required.
I'm putting it in my phone. Yeah, all right, requirements. Okay, what's the second one?
Future.
Future, okay.
And one is me.
And one is me, okay.
And that, you know, so the requirement, he can buy notebook paper for school. Or pen and pencil, anything that he is required to have, that's what he's using the money in the required job for. And the future, right. That could be, like I say, it could be saving to buy a car when he get older. It could be toward his college tuition. It could be toward buying property. But it's something that's going to help him grow in the future.
Right. All right. I wrote them down. It all makes sense. Now, you've got a community event next month in June. Is June or is
July?
July 30th.
July 30th.
All right. Yeah, next month because it's June right now.
It is a 100%.
Yeah, the title of it, the purpose of it, and, you know, how did you get started? Because you've been doing it, what, 10 years now?
Yes, this is our 10th anniversary.
Right.
It started back in 2012 in celebration of I had three grandsons that were murdered within 27 months in the city of Chicago. Okay.
Mom, we can't hear you.
Uh-oh, I don't know what I did.
Now I can hear you.
Okay. Three of them, they were murdered in the street helping somebody else. One was assisting a young lady who came from a domestic situation. One was leaving a party, and when he heard the shooting, he snatched a young woman out of the way. And the last one was killed going to see about his brother's baby who had been murdered. Mm. And it's about reclaiming what belongs to us, our children. But guess what? If you're 73 like me, the child you may be reclaiming may be in their 40s or 50s.
Right.
Because it's intergenerational. So if you is passing on information that you know worked in our communities before and you're passing it on, then you're reclaiming the youth. All of the vendors that day are black vendors, although I like to say Afro-descendant now. Okay. And one of these days we're going to have to get together and do a lesson about that term black. And how they use that against us, just like sagging. So
right.
When they come, the children, the vendors don't pay us to set up. they pay a child that works with them that day to learn how to be a VIN, how to VIN. And there will even be some young people there that have their own businesses that have learned to make jewelry, crochet, cookies, cupcakes, who will be setting up their own table to be in. They eat all day long free if they want to. If they want to entertain, they can. We have three speakers that day, a young person that talks about the importance of family. And then we give the children an oath where they agree to accept love and guidance from their elders. Then they are surrounded by the women. We have a women speaker who talks about the importance of being a love giver. And then the women take the oath to provide knowledge and love and caring. And then we have a male speaker who talks about the importance of men being the providers and protectors of our and builders of our community. And then they take an oath.
Okay.
So hopefully the 10th year is going to be a stepping stone for me, that I am going to be able to put a format together to share with other communities. I mean Afro-descended communities in other cities and states, so we can start building an economic base everywhere that we are. And seeing most of our people don't know. Do you know how many jobs we can create if the whole 750 billion of us, if we spend one dime out of every dollar with each other, we can create 20,000 jobs a year in our community. And you know who controls the jobs controls the community.
That's true.
And we need to figure out how to stop going to the people who created the problems in our community and expecting them to rectify it. What would be the purpose for this government and those other people to correct the damage that they did in our community? If they correct it, then they can no longer control it. Even now, they will tell you, I can only speak for the city of Chicago. I don't know about other places. But the city of Chicago done had mayors for the last 20 years and police superintendents that talk stuff about the murder rate when they already know that it is not all of these gangs doing the killing. If you ask me, and this is just my personal opinion, they got people in government who are telling these white supremacist groups what days and when is the best time to come to Chicago to have shooting parties.
Mm.
Well, we got cameras that react to sound, and when they hear a gunshot, they automatically send a text to the dispatcher to dispatch a car there, and the car is supposed to be there within 10 minutes. The cameras actually take pictures of where the sound is coming from. So why aren't they solving any murders? Don't it sound like to you somebody done told whoever the shooter is, you got 10 minutes to get away before the car comes?
Yeah, that does sound like it's organized.
Wouldn't they be catching, huh?
That sounds like it would be organized.
Well, don't you think that with all of the cameras we got in the city, you could walk down some streets, and if you know what you're looking for, I'm going to just give you one, like State Street. There's areas of State Street. You can be walking down State Street in a 10-block radius. You may see 10 different cameras.
How many cameras again?
In a 10-block, you may see 10 different cameras.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's I believe that, yeah.
In the city of Chicago, if you got a parking lot, guess what? Like you a Jewel or Dominic's or something like that, a grocery store. If you got a parking lot to your business, don't you know it's supposed to be on camera? So how are people getting carjacked in parking lots and nobody is caught?
How can you go in the gas station and buy gas and get shot and nobody is caught? But what they are telling people, and we refuse to accept, is that they decided that they don't care. You know, I was telling somebody about when I was a teenager and started driving. Do you know what I was told if I had to drop you off?
What's that?
I'm going to wait till you get in the house. And when you get in the house, you call my mom and them and tell them that I'm on my way. So they're looking for me because they were kidnapping black women and children back in those days, in the 50s and 60s and 70s. And it's even worse now. But do you see anybody being caught?
Now, I have heard about, they had a case in Washington, D.C. like that a few years ago. Within the last 10 years where black women were coming up missing, and Native American women have been coming up missing for quite some time as well.
And I'm just saying, they're after the melanin in our skin. And I'm going to tell you something else that you men don't realize. A lot of y'all that are coming up missing, you know why? Because the tip of your penis used to be a delicacy to them, and they used it to increase their hormones and the melanin in their skin. So do you think that they stopped because this is 2022?
The tip of the what was they doing? The what?
They would eat the tip of a black man's penis because it was a delicacy to them, and they wanted the value of the melanin in the black man's skin.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Now, see, Reba, you a teacher. You better go back and you better learn this because I'm going to have to go grandma on you because you with the children all the time. You got to teach them what the truth is.
Look,
okay, that's just like sagging. Where did sagging come from?
The what?
Where did sagging come from?
Slave master, and it went off into the prison because they was having those men in front of the wife and children.
That's where it came from. Sagging came from slavery because they didn't consider you a man, so they didn't figure you needed to cover your behind, and it let other white slave masters know that they could have sex with you. The only way they made you cover your behind, you know why? Because they started finding out that Miss Ann was sneaking you in her bedroom after she saw what you had. And that's when they started making you cover your butt.
Well, this will be a hot
And if you ask somebody that went to jail, the first thing they'll tell you they do when they get in jail is pull their pants up. So when they see you walking down the street with your butt out, the first thing that subliminal message says to the police is that, okay, we done found one that's willing to go to jail to have sex with men. Why do you think there's so many men in jail, black men in jail, that have not committed crimes? And at one while, back in the 50s and 60s, I don't know how many of them are still alive, they had the no-out population. They had no entrance date and no exit date. They were just taken off the street and put in places like Stateville and Pontiac. Explain that one to me. And they think we ain't paying attention, even with the prisons now. The prisons in Illinois are privately owned. So that means the state of Illinois got to make sure that they have a certain amount of prisoners in those jails at all times. So what do you think they going to do rather than get the money back? They're going to take you off the street so they can keep making that money. The state of Illinois, for the last 30 or so years, have been making their money off of the backs of black men that they have put in jail. And now they're going after women. We got to open our eyes and see what's going on. We at war and we don't even know it.
It's strategies to stay, or what are some of the strategies you see on a community level to prevent people?
We need to separate. We need to declare nationality, and I don't mean black, because that's a color. And I don't mean African-American. And we ain't even got sense enough to realize that they even messed that up. Because don't you know you can't be an African-American, you can be an American-African, because the first country is the country of birth. And the second one is the nationality. You know that they don't call Hispanics American-Mexican. They call them Mexican-American because they were born in Mexico and they came to America.
And there's no country called black.
We need to separate, huh?
There's no country called black.
No, there's not. That's the reason that they came up with the universal title of Afro-descendant, because they're telling us to create more confusion, that it just means that you would be descended of a person born in Africa. When you know what it really means, right? Go, and then I tell parents to do this with their children all the time. Get you a paper map. Cut all of the water out and put the land back together like a puzzle. And guess what you will find? That Africa is the center of the world, and it was one continent before the continental divide. So guess what? We are the indigenous people of any country you go to in the world. But they don't want you to know that. Okay? At one school that I was doing some work with young children, I got asked by the principal not to teach the children that. And you know what I told her? I said, you paid me to come here and teach the children what I know about our history. And since you don't want them, and told her in the group in front of the parents, since you don't want them to know the truth, I told the parents, I will be holding the classes at this church over here. I will not be coming back into a mass of confusion. You will not be able to say that Evelyn Johnson helped you confuse black children. And I never went back to that school again. And those parents brought their children to the church that I was holding the classes at. And seeing they have us thinking that they need them. We got everything in our community that we need. We got lawyers. We got doctors. We got teachers. We got children. We got adults. We got knowledge that we can share. Whatever happened to the carpenters and the electricians that used to see young people out in the streets and say, come on, go with me, I'm going to show you what I do. So those things stayed in our community. What happened to our bargaining skills? See, and that was the other thing. Our people didn't suffer because, okay, I'm going to use Reba. I'm going to say, okay, Reba, you teach my grandkids how to speak Spanish, and I'm going to make spice blends for you until they all graduate from high school. And it would be the same thing if people could sew, if people could bake. When there was stuff going wrong in your house, there were the men and the women would do what they could do to make sure that you survived. We stopped looking out for each other. And seeing even when it comes to the games, people don't. Do you know who the paratroopers were?
Who?
Huh? Do you know who they were? The paratroopers?
No.
The paratroopers was one of the original gangs in our community. They were veterans, I think, from World War I or World War II, one of them. And they came together to protect the community from the people who were coming in doing the kidnapping of women and children. That's how gangs were organized. And then, I ain't going to say who, but you already know who it was, decided that the young men that were on the corner showed them where they could sell heroin and cocaine to people and make big money and have territories. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You see, we need to go back and to where we know that we were surviving. And I know it sounds like I'm angry. I am angry at the fact that we will not stand up. And I feel like I'm dominating the conversation.
No, no, I'm up here taking notes. I'm taking notes. Well, Chicago's got, all right, you got a population of, I know it's at least 3 million people. And
yes.
About, what, one-third of that? At least a million of those people are, what's the term we need to use? Not black, but
African-American.
Well,
that's what they use here, but I say Afro-descendant.
Well, Afro-descendant. So a million of them are at least Afro-descendant.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a large number.
I think they said it was like 1.5 million of us still here.
That's probably about right, but it's difficult to get that many people on the same page. And there's some legendary people that live in Chicago or from Chicago.
Well, I can tell you this. I don't know if y'all been paying attention. Look how many states.
Two doors. I never go through that other door. Forgive me for that.
Let me just. Huh?
I apologize.
Oh, she's talking to somebody else.
I apologize. I'm
I can tell
phone.
You this. Have y'all noticed how many states are trying to get slavery on the ballot?
No, that one went past over my head, what you just said.
All right, go and check. Go state by state and check their, what do you call it, their, I want to say list. Their list for voting in the next election. And see how many states are trying to get slavery back on the ballot. I don't know if they're doing it in the state of Illinois yet, because I do have some friends that are in politics. They haven't mentioned it. But I know that there are some southern states that are trying to do it, get it back on the ballot.
Well, I do know this. Yesterday was, no. Well, officially observed as Juneteenth, except here in Florida we didn't observe it. It's four states, Florida, Alaska, I think New Mexico, and Missouri. They didn't observe it on the state level. Now, the federal buildings here, they did.
Well, guess what? We've been celebrating Juneteenth in Chicago that I know of for 25 years. And we've always had a big celebration. And in one of the poorest black communities that there is in the Inglewood community. So, that's even with Kwanzaa. We don't need permission there. Some of us don't feel like we need white folks' permission to celebrate things that affect us. And guess what? That's like Memorial Day. Where did Memorial Day come from?
Good question. I don't know.
Well, let me tell you where it came from. They stole that from us. That was black people, black doing slavery after the Civil War, decided to go back and bury the black soldiers that they refused to bury and celebrate their life. See, and I don't know if you're going to have find it in a book or not, but my grandma told me that when I was a kid.
Hmm. I know that the state lottery, I know after they shut that down in Harlem, which black folks were running at, then the state of New York as well as other states made it legal. And even out in Los Angeles, California, now this is on YouTube. It's not a black thing, but some guy was He was building tiny houses and basically giving them away to people. Code enforcement came in and basically shut all that down. However, now the city of Los Angeles has a tiny house community. So
they have
that's
a
how
what?
Government rolls.
Huh. I'm telling you, the lottery came from the bookies.
Mm-hmm.
That was, they would go in, and they had a name for them. I'm saying bookies,
numbers
but
runners?
I'm trying to think of what they, huh?
Number runners?
Yeah, the numbers runners. And that's where it came from. That used to be part of the entertainment because they didn't want us going to the racetrack or the casinos were not in most states. That was part of their enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And see, and that's just like they told you that everybody thought the quarter parties was about having fun. You know what the quarter parties and the wedding parties was about?
I haven't heard of quarter parties yet. Is this something new to me?
Quarter parties was something that they used to do back in the 50s and 60s. They probably did it before then, but I was born in the 40s, so I don't remember that.
Right.
They would have quarter parties to help people pay their bills. And the waistline, everybody paid a quarter to get in because nobody really had big money, but everybody paid a quarter to get in, and they did it until they got enough to pay that rent or that light bill.
Is that the same thing as rent parties?
That's right. And the waistline parties was another one.
The whole thing about the waistline parties,
huh?
What were the waistline parties about?
Same thing. Those were rent parties too. They would take a tape measure, and they would measure your waist, and they would either charge you a penny, a nickel, a dime, or a quarter per inch, and that's what you would pay to get into the party.
Okay.
I'm telling you, there were so many things in place for us to help each other that they made folks think that it was stupid to do, and it was part of our survival method.
I'm right. I'm taking notes on this, putting in my phone, quarter party, waistline party.
No.
Talk
and
about
even
that.
What they call block parties used to be sharing parties in the old days.
You said block parties?
Because, huh?
You said block parties?
Yeah, that's what they call them now. But they used to be sharing parties where the people on that street would get together and they would bring stuff. It could be clothes that their children no longer could wear. It could be food they didn't bought too much of. Somebody would start cooking it, and that's what they would be eating. It could be toys that they would see. You would see a child sitting down that you never saw them jumping rope or playing jacks, and they don't even do that kind of stuff no more, hopscotch. So they never had any toys. So you had extra toys at your house. Everybody would get together, and they would bring out the extra stuff that they had in their house and share it with the people who didn't have. And nobody said stuff like, ooh, look at her taking that. Ooh-wee, she must be poor. Nobody talked about each other like that. Somebody might come up to you and say, oh, how can I help you? Do you need something else? And they didn't say it loud enough for somebody else to hear. It was just a conversation between you and them.
Right. And I'm fascinated with
this. Now people did not consider each other neighbors. They considered each other family. If we lived on the same street, we were family. If something was going on with you, I'm going to do the best that I can to help. We didn't call DCFS, okay? We went to that person and said, what do you need? Yeah, you can go to work. Tell your children to come to my house. I'll have dinner ready for them, and they will be here safe until you get home. If there was somebody acting crazy at your house, the men would call him aside and say, look, you need to make up your mind. You're not going to be whooping no woman on this block. You're going to act right, or you're going to have to find you somewhere to go. And they wasn't playing. And if you saw something on the block, they had men's phone numbers, you know, but we all had landlines then, that they
right.
can call and say, oh, you know what, I saw a strange car cruising through the neighborhood. And then men was going to come out to see who that car was. And if the police came on the block, everybody, every adult on that block came out to see what the police was doing.
Mm.
Everybody. Everybody came out. They may not have said nothing to them, but they was going to stand on the porch to make sure you didn't do nothing out of pocket.
Mm.
And see, now, they called it the protected community, huh?
Hold on, Mama Evelyn. We got some callers here. Some people want to chime in on what you're talking about. Area code 410, your mic is open.
No, Brother Ellie, I just wanted to chip in to thank that sister for giving you some knowledge that is not readily shared with people, because a lot of people that will go unknown would always come up and say the worst about our people. But I agree with a lot of that stuff that sister says. And the thing is, she's imparting knowledge that I was familiar with also. So keep on, sister. And I hope the other people that's on this program is listening and don't have a lot of bull to say about what you're saying. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Beasley. I'm taking notes. while she's talking, I'm taking notes in my phone.
Well, when my books come out, you're going to have to get a couple of the books.
I will. No doubt about it.
Well, I just finished the book.
I really like the idea of the sharing parties.
Okay.
Because that really doesn't even happen today. I mean, I don't
see
it happen.
No, they take everything to the Salvation Army. You know, I live in senior housing. Biggest mistake I ever made. But I had too much grief trauma in my house, so I gave it to a non-for-profit organization, and I had to get out of it. Because I kept hearing my grandsons come through the door, and I know they couldn't do it. So I had to leave it. But it was a big mistake coming in seniors' houses. People be talking, seniors are being mistreated so much in these senior buildings, and nobody cares. Nobody is even checking on the seniors. And we don't even have sense enough to realize the reason that they mistreat those seniors is they hoping that we die quick so we can't pass on what we know. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's their benefit to mistreating seniors. They want you to get sick and die. Okay. I even, in the building I live in, we even had a resident that had carbon monoxide poisoning, and the only gas we got in here is the heat. So how'd she get enough gas fumes in her apartment to get carbon monoxide poisoning? And do you think anybody from the city, county, or state came out to check on where the carbon monoxide was coming from or to see if we even had carbon monoxide detectors in the building?
Mm.
And it's been about 6 months. Ain't nobody been here yet.
Huh?
So that's all I'm saying is we got to let these young people know. Do you know what my daddy told me when I was 15?
What's that?
He said, all of these young people running around getting guns. He said, let me tell you what about to tell your friends. Yeah, if you get a gun, bury it 6 feet deep, because in the future, when y'all become adults, they're going to have magnets in the police cars where they can drive through neighborhoods and detect where the guns are at. But you're going to need them guns eventually because you're going to be at war.
Amen.
And what happened in 1968? Didn't they fill our communities? Not the white communities.
Yeah, MLK assassination.
Huh?
What, the MLK assassination?
They killed Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
No, Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
And see, if people don't understand, they had to kill Malcolm first. You know why?
Mama Evelyn, you got to speak into the phone. You can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Yeah, clear.
Okay, they had to kill Malcolm first. You know why? If they had killed King first, Malcolm had enough influence with the young people in the United States that they would have took this country over. That's the reason. And seeing a lot of the stuff that happened in 60, I know on Roosevelt Road, they want to tell you that the young black people burnt that down. I used to live on Roosevelt and Homer. And it was the store owners that, because they were fitting to change it to a different community, they wanted to put housing there. There were the business owners who set their own stores on fire. And they would see you walking down the street, and they would give you a TV or a record player or something for the police to stop you, thinking that you done broke in the store and took it. But nobody believed them when they was telling them what was going on. So it's
now,
a bunch
in,
of stuff.
Now, in 68, when King was assassinated, now, I know in D.C., we had riots primarily in the black, what's the right word I want to use? Right commercial, Fourteenth Street Northwest, which you had a lot of black-owned businesses. 8th Street Northeast, you had a lot of black-owned businesses. Those two areas, and it's pretty significant amount of land in both of those areas. Those are two primary areas where they rioted, and you also had, like, in Logan Circle in D.C., where you had basically mansions. So with the riots, all that stuff was basically blacks moved out of those areas after that, and now those areas have been gentrified. So now in Chicago in 68, after the King assassination, was there any urban unrest there? I know it was in other cities, but I don't know about Chicago.
I'm telling you. Roosevelt Road was in a black community, but none of the stores were owned by black folks.
Okay.
But they burned, all of them burned down, and it was the owners that did it. It wasn't the people in the community. Madison and Pulaski was another area where they had rioting, but they weren't black-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. Okay. The areas where they had black-owned businesses were not touched in Chicago.
Now, what about neighborhoods? Just, you know,
they were, okay. Huh?
Residential neighborhoods.
Residential neighborhoods, no. They did not destroy people's homes. That was not going to happen. The men in the community was not going to let that happen. That's just like when I was back in the early 70s. We had a neighborhood rapist that the police, women who had to work nights, the men had to start standing on the bus stops to make sure them women got home safely. And they happened to catch the racist police showed up after they caught him. And the police wanted to arrest the men who caught the rapist and not the rapist, even though the woman was standing there telling them that he tried to pull her off the street. Until everybody on that street came out and told him, either do your job or we're going to do it for you. And that's when they took him to jail. I'm telling you, we got to open our eyes. And since then, we had another rapist, I think, in the late 80s, early 90s, in another black community. And it was the women who got together with whistles out on street corners. Okay? And when they saw him, they all started blowing them whistles. And they wouldn't stop blowing them until the police, and they surrounded him. And they wouldn't stop blowing until the police came and got him.
That's sort of like how they caught the Night Stalker out in California. It was the community that caught him and held him until the police got there.
So there are a lot of things that our community has done that they have hidden or distorted or lied about. Okay? Because the police used to didn't patrol our community. It was the black men who controlled the community. They made sure our community was safe. And you bet, and even when they started selling drugs in our community, do you know the quickest way to get your butt whooped is if you sold drugs in front of a child or an elder? The men was going to tear your butt up, make sure you didn't make that mistake again. And they would tell you, we ain't trying to stop you from making money, but we are going to make sure that you respect our community.
Well,
so
that's a lot of information there. Let's open up the call to another caller here. And we're talking with Mama Evelyn Johnson. And Mama Evelyn, before we go to this next call, once again, the name of the event for next month, and I know it's on July 31st.
Reclaiming Our Youth Day.
Reclaim Our Youth Day. All right, that's July
31st. Reclaiming Our Youth Day.
And vendors, if somebody wants to be a vendor, what type of vendors are you looking for?
As long as they're not selling anything illegal. And that includes alcohol and edibles because this is about the children. Okay? The only requirement is that you be an Afro descendant and you are willing to hire a child for that day. If the child is 7 to 13, you give them $25 for the day. If the child is 14 to 20, you give them $50 for the day. If the child has their own business, all you need to do is contact me by email, ANBSN2002@yahoo.com. And give me your name and let me know whether you are bringing a child with you or if you need a child to work with you. And that's the requirement. You must be Afro-descended or African-American or black, however you identify yourself, and the child must be too. Because this is strictly about building an economic base in the black community.
So in order to speak, you're going to press star one.
Huh?
Okay. No, hold it there. Reba there?
Yeah, I thought I heard her say something.
Yeah, I think she's talking to somebody else. Though. What I'll do is I'll just mute her mic. Continue, Mom Evelyn.
Yes, it is strictly about building an economic base. It's strictly about reconnecting the generations like we used to be connected. It's about going back to speaking life into our children, okay, which means think of all your positive stuff you want to say to a child that day and be prepared. We have a walk, listen, and then talk team where the adults go and introduce themselves to the young people and listen to what they have to say before they decide to give an answer and try to help them come up with positive solutions. We even talk about our walk, talk, and spread love system. And that's where trying to stop the violence, we tell adults, put your favorite tray. You can get a box of cardstock, I think, for $4 or $5 at Walmart. Put your favorite saying on the front and put a telephone number on the back that you know you're going to answer with a message. Before you pick up a gun or do something violent, call me and let's talk about it. We
and
have to reconnect with our young people.
All right. Well, that's the 10th year, so you're doing something right. And that's that
well,
next month.
Guess
the,
what? You know why?
What's that?
You know why? You know why I'm doing something right? Because I don't seek donations from nobody. I seek participation. All of the food that I give away to the children that day, it means that some days I ain't going to have chicken for dinner or I ain't going to have fish because I'm going to be using it to buy potato chips, juice, or water. So they get – usually what happens is they get beef hot dogs, chips, juice and water. And sometimes if I feel like baking, they get cookies. But I got so many young people that are selling cookies this year that I'm going to be buying cookies from them to give away this year. So I don't. And I tell people, say, like you say you were coming, I would tell you, if you want to donate something, you walk through that group of children with your donation to put on the table. Because one of our goals is to show young people that people who look like you are willing to support you when you're doing something positive. Our DJ that day is even, they're 10 years old. Mm. We're going to have a DJ battle between the children that day.
All right, that's all positive.
Okay, I'm hoping I've invited this youth dance group. I'm hoping that they show because it's all about the children. And I'm hoping that there will be people who will come with their cars, and when they make connections with a young person that say, I need to talk, they will get that child a card and say, call me. Because, see, with the community listening here, you only have two instances in when you will report what a child say to you if you can't change their mind. And you know what that is, right?
Is that all you
if
got
they
to
say
do?
They're going
to
hurt themselves or someone else. If you can't talk them down, then you need to try to connect them with somebody who can.
Well, this sounds like
to save us.
This sounds like, now, I guess Reba will be there for sure covering that. Reba, you going to do a live stream that day?
I hope so. And she's also, I'm waiting for her to introduce me to the people that own the Black Bread Company. They, sight unseen, have, she said, are hiring 4 children to work with them to sell their bread. I'm waiting for her to send me their logo so I can start promoting it on Facebook, too.
Reba must still be in a meeting. So the mic is open.
Mine ain't until 11:30, so I had I told people I couldn't move. I couldn't meet before 11 because I didn't know how long we would be on. They said 11:30.
Right, how much time you got left? How much time do you have left?
How much what?
Time.
Oh, I just said 10:48,
you know,
so we got about 45
are, right?
minutes.
Guys, I'm here.
Reba, is that you?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was talking about the company that you said was going to have 4 young people working with them, the Black Bread Company. I'm still waiting on that logo so I can start promoting them.
No. That actually is just the black business that I was promoting, but the Black Youth Metropolis is the new organization culminating from Shine for Peace. Shine for the number 4 piece, which is now in the process of partnering with, collaborating with Community Peace Program. But the Black Youth Metropolis, actually, we just highlight different businesses. I actually just got wind of them on Facebook. So, yeah, I can certainly reach out to them. They, someone from Chicago actually told them to market their stuff, and so now they are in certain stores and things like that, and they have a website. So I do have merged Don Jackson onto the call, so he has something to share, and he has some youth that you can work with, you and I can work with, actually, Mama Evelyn, for the Community Peace Program.
Okay. I know Don.
Oh, you know Don. Right.
Yeah, I've been promoting this thing, the talent show.
How you doing, Mama Evelyn?
I'm blessed.
How you doing?
Fine. Glad you're on.
All right. This is L.A.?
Yeah. But go ahead and share what you got to share. I'm up here taking. I'm in school this morning.
Okay. Should I tell you a little bit about the program? My name is Dr. Don Jackson, and I'm the president and co-founder of the Community Peace Program. We're sponsors of the Inglewood Bow the Stars Talent Show, which features children from 5 to 13.
Are you guys hearing feedback? Because I'm like, I merged them into the call. Maybe you should call them directly.
Let me try something. All right, go ahead.
Let me do this. I'm gonna drop his call and have him call again directly.
Okay. Yeah, I think that'll work better. All right.
Okay. So Brother LA.
Yeah.
Hello. Okay.
Yeah,
so
I'm here.
Dial you directly for.
Yeah, he can call directly into the studio. And it,
yeah,
because
I don't know if you guys heard the feedback that I was hearing.
Yeah, well, you can barely hear him. But
oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, if he calls
back. So what's
back,
the number again? 425, no, 619.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
619.
619.
768. Yes, 768-2945.
You just want to go to the phone icon. Let's see.
Yeah, that'll
phone.
Go directly into the studio.
Phone here. No, you're not going to search. You're going to keypad. Okay, 619.
Yeah, 768.
768?
Uh-huh. 2945.
29?
Yeah, 2945. Right.
All right. Thank you so much. Go ahead and call.
All right.
So he's calling in now. This is Don Jackson,
okay,
of Community Peace Program. He has the Inglewood Battle of the Stars talent show coming up. It's actually going to be televised. Live performances will be televised during the week, he said, of the Kwanzaa celebration from December 26, 2022.
All right, now, I just opened up his mic.
Okay, your mic is open.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Dr. Don Jackson, and I'm the president and co-founder of the Community Peace Program, which features Inglewood Battle of the Stars talent show, which involves children from 5 to 13. The purpose of our fundraiser is to raise funds, and those funds that are raised will be placed in a fund. Anyone that's murdered in the Inglewood community, whether it's through gang violence, police violence, domestic violence, or just children in general being murdered, they'd be automatic reward for the apprehension and conviction of said individuals. I've been thinking about setting this program up for over 50 years. My first involvement with a homicide was when I was in fourth grade, and I was getting my hair cut, and I was sitting there getting my hair cut, and this guy was just cursing, and this other black dude, you know, he said, "Why you got to keep cursing in front of, you know, these women?" And the guy kept cursing, so the dude took out a knife and he slit the dude's throat, picked him up by the collar, drug him outside, threw him against the wall, came back in, sat down, and waited to get his hair cut. No one ever called the police or anything. The barber, because he was nervous, he ended up cutting all my hair off. But that was, you know, and since that time, some 50 years ago, you know, it's been a thing that I've seen in the African-American community. And I finally decided at age 71 that I would, you know, try to do something about that. Black Lives Matter had just been becoming a part of the African-Americans communities, you know, community. And I decided to set up the Inglewood Battle of the Stars talent show. You know, it's a way of trying to involve the community to take a part in, you know, trying to stop the homicide. And not just outside of the community.
Now,
you know,
let me ask you this: with the event that you're doing and the event, the July event, which Mama Evelyn does WVON or any other radio stations up in Chicago cover those events?
I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Well, to most black people
Mama
in Chicago.
Huh?
To most black people in Chicago, I'm known as that angry black woman.
Yeah. We met before. This is Mama Evelyn, right? Yeah, we met before.
Yeah.
And I've seen how far you can be. Yeah.
Hey.
And I enjoyed talking with you that one time we was over there, I think on 67th.
Mm-hmm.
King George.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and George been friends since seventh grade.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
And then we met again over there at something that was being sponsored by Minister Raheem and Pastor Chisholm. Pastor Chisholm's the person I would have been working with. He kind of like pushed me, stop talking about it, go do it, you know, so. Okay.
Well, okay. Well, Reba's going to cover it. I know that much.
Yeah, well, George will be there. As a matter of fact, his grandson is one of the 10-year-old DJs.
Okay.
That might be a very positive event. Okay. We don't hear enough about the positivity that happens in Chicago.
Well, I tell you, I have been contacted by the major television stations about covering it, and I told them unless if they're not sending a black reporter, they're not invited.
The fiery black woman.
So,
right. I said,
and by me not inviting they call the major stations, then the black news outlets don't want to participate because I don't invite the white folks.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, what the
I
paper
care.
Up there is what the black newspaper in Chicago, what is the Defender?
Yeah.
Defender, Crusader, The Citizen, Black Wall Street.
You got more
I've been trying to contact all day. To sponsor help, you know.
I'm trying to think who else is here.
That's part of where I came in when I met Mr. Nelson at the UBAPA event last Saturday. I said, well, do you have the funding, you know, for your talent showcase? And so he has some things in place, and I just wanted to bring some more to the table. And a part of that is getting some young people off the streets or just, you know, don't let them sit around. Just give them an opportunity to get something productive done so I can take them down to some of those black-owned media outlets. I actually did a paper on right on Michigan. Well, I might have lost a word. It's hot out here. We're outside of Starbucks, y'all. I was just saying that we are going to get these young people to use their energy and to help not only raise funds for us helping them. Since the auditions are going on, I can actually connect. So my idea is to connect all of what we do and we culminate in December for the Kwanzaa Celebration Live Talent Performance with CPP, Community Peace Program. The Black Metropolis is a movement, so part of the movement with my organization is to pull everything together because the movement is to circumvent violence. And then the Reclaiming Our Youth Day, what better way to reclaim our youth, but to teach them to make some money, display their talent, and to teach them entrepreneurship ways. Spanish is a bonus. So they're going to learn Spanish, of course. English literacy on top of that. You know, I've had students to tell me, oh, well, you're not my English teacher. I said, well, I am now. You don't want to prostitute some Sesame students. I'm kidding you not. Teaching Sesame students at, I'm going to say the name of the school. This one was DeSalvo High School when I first taught there. And the senior year he graduated, he wasn't punctuated. He says, well, my teacher, he doesn't make me. I said, well, I'm not making you. I'm making sure that you know that it's important to present your best. Because you're getting ready to go out to the real world. You got to punctuate.
Yeah.
So it's okay. And I'm like you myself, Mama Evelyn. When I will call people out, I've even been a political prisoner. Brother L.A. is aware of this. I've set it up for the young people. I wish I had you in my reach when I was doing all that work in Chicago Public Schools.
And when I got arrested, they at least would have gotten the education that they need. Which y'all have a feedback because I'm sitting across from Brother Don. But I was just definitely just let you guys know that I'm here to work. I am doing a summer program, but I'm not so tied up, you know, because the young people didn't want to get out anyway. I will have my bodyguard, and we'll be traveling to safe places where bodyguard is their dad. Yeah, so certainly, yeah, and if you guys have any suggestions, I'm open to that as well. But we're going to do the Spanish. Brother Don and I agreed to do the Spanish, which is $125 per adult. And a portion of the proceeds will go to fund community programs and their projects. And it's a 501c3 organization. So the proceeds, the donations will be tax deductible.
Well, I got one something I want you to do for me that for Reclaiming Our Youth Day.
What is that? Can I do a workshop?
You know what I want you to do?
Uh-huh.
I want you to give them one word or two words in Spanish on a piece of paper to take with them. And tell them,
okay.
Now look what you done accomplished.
Okay. Can I give them a phrase?
Huh?
Can I give them a whole phrase?
You know what to do. I'm saying is the more things that we show the children they can accomplish, the better it is for the children.
That's right. Because it is a
if you give them their numbers in English and Spanish, they will say, look what you learned today.
That's right. Yeah. But something like really brief and like that, I may teach them their phone number, something like that. So certainly I'm willing to do that, and I thank you for extending the opportunity. I'm excited. I like walking in my purpose.
Well, the thing about it, I wish I knew somebody that I could get to do. Let me ask you that. Do you do Swahili too?
Pardon me?
Do you do Swahili too?
I do not. I would love to learn.
Okay. No, I was saying I wish we could find somebody that did this because that's their native language. And
I know a native Swahili speaker. She lives in Kenya.
Maybe I wonder if we could do something by
the time difference with them now. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The time zone. Yeah. But I do know some people through some former teachers, former professors with Freedom Home Academy. Oh, we want to let Brother Don give, Dr. Don Jackson. Contact information, he just shared where people can call to set up a call or email.
Yeah, the telephone number is 773-317-9549. That's 317-9549. Now, the email address is very easy. Community Peace Program. That's the name of the organization. And just add at gmail.com. So that's communitypeaceprogram@gmail.com.
Your name again?
I'm sorry?
Your name again?
My name is Dr. Don Jackson.
Dr. John, okay. Don or John?
D-O-N.
Oh, D-O-N, okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Mama Evelyn, I was talking about your muffins with Brother L.A.
See, you know what? I can't stand that long. I've been trying to get somebody that want to learn how to do them so they can come here.
Because
that would have been the children that are going to be mad because they're not going to have none this year.
Okay.
But, you know,
okay,
I can't stand
okay.
up that long.
Well, I can bring one of my youth with me. In fact, I got three little girls. Would that be
cool.
okay?
Then
or
they
two,
can
if you want me to bring
that
one?
Day if they want to.
Okay, so we can.
And now, let me just say this real. Don't go tripping because we're not going to make all 21 flavors.
Okay. I saw your table layout. I didn't get a chance. I gotta get your stuff on my website too. Cause you know you got a page already. We gotta add your other.
I
was like, you got it going on. all those flavors, all of those, you have a page on my website. I did that page, so we got to update it. And I sent you the link.
You keep telling me
you're
coming back me here to show me how to do that, and you ain't made it yet.
Well, you know what? You see who was with me yesterday. I had to have my son because he wanted to drive, and he's driving in circles. So I'm trying to get away from them. I love my sons, but I'm trying to get away. They are 21, 25, and 27, and one just made me a grandmother. They pull on me so tough. I'm looking like, let me get away. So
you know
I certainly,
what?
Yeah. So I'll be, yeah. When they're working, that's my time to move around.
Enjoy them while you can.
Yeah, yeah. Because somebody said when they were younger, and the thing is, I do see it now, but I told him, I said, my son, just this morning, he was having a conversation with me, my 27-year-old. He said, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you had 30, 40 years of fun. I said, what? So you lived your 30, 40 years of fun. I said, mm-hmm. I've had my moments, but, you know, it's your outlook on life. It's the energy that you bring. It's having of mind, love, community peace program, time for peace. Moving, you know, you talk about conflict resolution and how you're teaching families to hold one another accountable. This is what, because I was driving when you were sharing about the requirement, teaching those concepts mm-hmm. back to the basics, basically. You know, I believe those old sayings need to come back. Can't stand a heat, get out of the kitchen. Because
the average person. The average person you ask what is a positive relationship can't define it for you.
Mm. Yeah. So I'm not trying to get rid of my sons. I love them. I will enjoy them. But I do need, because we're so close, I do need some space. Thank you. This is Dr. Jack to help me out here.
You got to have some me time.
Yeah, because I get it from time to time, but I've been a wife. I've been the girlfriend, long-term girlfriend that acted like the wife. So now I don't have anybody telling me what to do. All of my children are adults. I can travel. I can focus on my music. So this Saturday we're supposed to be filming the video for the song Celebrate Your Life. Ironically, that's the title of the song. WF Doc is the rapper. I'm doing the vocals, the melodic vocals on the track. And we'll keep you guys posted on that event, June 25th, this Saturday at the Royal UC West Banquet. So,
do you ever do gospel?
I do. You know, I grew up in the church, the Baptist church, and then I went to a Lutheran church. So, yeah, I do.
Turn your recorder
gospel.
On. They keep trying to get me to go into the studio. And I told them I'm not working that hard.
Okay, yeah, studio. I've had studio experience. I'm actually a recording artist. Because this song that we recorded, mm-hmm. the studio, but you know, I just learn the material before I go in. But yeah, if you know, I'm available now. I'm not married anymore. I don't have anybody telling me what to do, which I was a good wife, by the way. I was that virtuous woman, and I was that happy housewife.
Yeah.
Woman of God. God first, family, and children. Community.
I ain't going to sing it to you now, but I'm going to send you the song that I wrote, they keep trying to get me to record.
Okay, okay.
Everybody
all
love
right.
it, but I'm not going to do it.
Okay. I got a question, Brother L.A. Would you mind sharing with Dr. Jackson our project that's coming up? Because we actually got to solidify a date to build the first. It'll be my first tiny solar mobile cabin. Could you share more about that, details about how that works? It could be used as a fundraiser as well.
Okay.
Brother L.A., are you there?
Okay, where he goes?
Well, I'll talk. Maya dropped.
Well, you know what? I'm here.
I hear Mama Evelyn. Yeah.
Yeah, I muted myself.
Okay.
And I started talking in response to your question. So let me put a backstory so it'll be in context. I'm physically in Florida right now, but I have a house in Washington, D.C. And recently, like within the last 2 months or so, my next door neighbor who have been my next door neighbor for over 60 years, their family sold the house. Now, the matriarch of that family, she's 101 years old, and she had two children, and they put her, she's in a nursing home right now. I don't know the whole backstory on that, but they put her in a nursing home. Then the two children that she had, a girl and a boy, they're grown. They have their own children and grandchildren of their own. So she has great-grandchildren at 101 years old. So her two children decided to sell the house, which I call the ancestral house. And this woman had, and her husband, when he was alive, they had, I don't know where he came from, but she came up from South Carolina, and without a high school degree or GED or nothing like that, she started a family, raised a family, and her children got high school degrees, but she didn't even have a GED. And so she had paid, you know, her husband later on died, but so the house was paid off, and then she decided, I guess, in her 40s, you know, I'm going to go to night school and get a GED. Now, my stepfather was living at the time, so he helped her get a GED. So she got a GED when she really didn't need one because she had already raised a family and paid off the house. And I think she bought that house for probably under $19,000. All right. They sold the house for over $500,000, and it went off the market within a week. The people that bought the house in Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C., which used to be called Chocolate City, when it was 70% plus black, now it's dropped down to 43% and shrinking. So they sold the house. They sold the house to an Asian family. Nothing wrong with that. The Asian family has a nail salon. Now, I don't like the fact that they sold the house. Now, who they sold it to is because...
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right. When the kids sold the house, when they sold the ancestral house, because once again, she's got two children, and then she's got grandchildren. She's probably got great-grandchildren. When she sold the house, essentially, from my point of view, she killed the goose that laid the golden egg, which means her grandchildren and great-grandchildren have to start all over from zero, from scratch, because her children and her grandchildren that are living, because she bought that house for under $18,000. But it took over 60 years, you know, to get up the equity to, you know, a cash price of $500,000. So now that leads into what we're talking about with Reba, is I would like to see families, instead of selling the ancestral house, figure out another, if you need $500,000 for whatever reason, and they didn't need it, that was the only thing they had of value that can sell for that much. My whole thing is, why don't you build yourself some tiny little houses and sell those, and, you know, you can make your $500,000 or $1 million plus that way. Now, is it practical? Well, they do it in the Mennonite community. They do it in the Amish community. And particularly in the Amish community, most Amish families, not all, but I would say over 50%, within their family, they have a family-based business. So I would, matter of fact, in Illinois or anywhere you're listening, find an Amish community and just, you know, ask some questions, and you'll find out that the woman with the daughters helping her, you know, in the little bakery at their farmer's market, you know, they're baking shoe fireflies and dinner rolls and other stuff, and They make meals. Some of them have restaurants or whatever. They're family-based businesses. And then the home that they live in has never had a mortgage on it. Never had a mortgage on it. So, and that's because family members and neighbors get together, just like you were talking about, Mom Evelyn, that you have the sharing parties. Okay. Well, they have sharing parties too. But, you know, they build houses. Or they, you know, they put together a farmer's market. So the whole thing that Reba's doing, she's got three sons, okay, and I think one's in the building trades already. So,
yes,
I'm
my youngest
is Reba,
and he got that skill from Job Corps.
Reba is the goose, and she's got three sons, and and what they'll be doing is they'll be building, they'll be producing gold eggs.
All right.
So that's the Let me open up to Don's mic. That's the method behind that madness.
How are you?
Did you hear that?
I have been trying to get these young people here to buy this vacant land from the Cook County Land Bank, but I can't find no young people interested in doing it because we need to start taking the land back in our community.
Well, you know, when I met Reba 3 years ago, I flew up to Chicago from I took a flight out of Orlando, and when we met, me, her, and a guy named Pleasant Stephens, we well, Reba did, brother. We went down to Hopkins Park in Pembroke, Illinois.
Okay.
And that was for the sole purpose of I had a piece of property in escrow at the time. But it was a clouded title or whatever, so it fell out of escrow. But you got the right idea, Mom Evelyn. Now for what I want to do, I can't do it in Chicago because Chicago's like it's overregulated. Well, I typically do what I do in a rural area where you have a lot more freedom to build what you want to build. I mean, there's some contingencies, but it's a lot less.
You know,
they're
fast-tracking our community so much, so quick, that the people who even like Inglewood, you ride down what used to be a business district. You ride down 63rd Street, and you see so many vacant lots. And the people that live over there, and you've got sense enough to know they're fast-tracking it to sell it to developers.
Okay.
I was just talking to Brother Don.
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to open this mic because there was an echo, but his mic is open.
Okay, yeah, because I'm sitting right across from him. So I was serious with him that I did a grant. It was a community-led initiative. It was a $10,000 grant awarded to, I think, 20 different organizations. And I actually, out of three organizations that I had written grants for, one of them got awarded the grant, and she didn't want it. She did. The founder of the agency, and that's where the board of directors come in. Because, you know, sometimes we start organization and we think it's hot. No one owns a not-for-profit, but we are the visionary behind forming the entity. Nevertheless, they were like, are you sure? We really like what you're doing. And now, mind you, I put it together. She didn't have some history as a not-for-profit, 501c3 not-for-profit, because, of course, they had the 501c3. Out of the three organizations, she did not want them. She was like, no, I'm setting my daycare down. And so we did everything professionally with that. So the good thing is that I did charge a fee. So I charged a fee. I was only charging $200. She ended up giving me, she was supposed to give me $100. She ended up giving me $80. I took the $80. And that's when I had my storefront, Mama Evelyn, where you came and help with my event where you sold the muffins and let my young people get a portion of that. So so the vacant lot, they may have something. I will look and see if they have something similar to what we did before. And that was back in, what, I think 2016?
But the thing is,
whatever
we were now
2017.
Getting a lot is one thing, but then, will the city of Chicago allow you to do And then how much are the permits going to cost to do it?
It's real, real clear and simple. We don't even need to have the lot. We just want to do something on the lot. We don't even need to worry about permits. We don't need to, and Brother Dr. Don actually, you know, and yourself, Mama E, and as well as with what you shared, Brother L.A., just if you said that all we need is the size of a
parking
space
lot.
And we can build tiny solar parking space, we can build these tiny solar cabins. Well, we got that. We have people with properties. We got people with backyards and so forth. We have the grand ballroom. We have parking lots of where our parents in the community, they party. We can go to some of these lounges and things like that and some of these clubs and say, hey, you know, my children, they have a project. They may be willing to. And as far as insurance is concerned, the thing is their insurance covers people being on their lot. But we could still, for my project, like my summer camp that I did on 87th and Damon some years ago, I used State Farm, and insurance is only like $400. Like $400 a month is just for that time period. So you just get your quote, you let them know what you're going to be doing, and you have insurance if anything occurs, you want to have some insurance in place. So fundraising is key. A lot of times people do events, but they don't have things like that in place. But I pretty much, I go by the book.
When I decide, when I find some more land to buy in the city of Chicago, it will be designated as tribal land, and I will not be bound by anything the city of Chicago has to do. And if they walk on my property without permission, I'm going to do the same thing to them that they do to us.
Now, Mama Evelyn, you mentioned that you've been trying to get some young people interested in buying land, but they didn't bite yet.
No, they didn't bite.
You know, I'm putting
this
idea out there.
Well, my youngest son needs to. I need to let CJ talk to you.
Maybe it would work if you found a single mother who's struggling to keep a roof over her head, because she would have, even a male. They would have some kind of motivation to, I mean, because we can teach them what to do.
Yeah.
Only thing is Chicago. Well, all right, well, yeah, I didn't even know Chicago had a land bank, so they got property for sale then.
L.A., I have been trying to get people to just go and look at the city of Chicago's charter. Do you know that something happened and they then legally had to say that all of the land in the city of Chicago belongs to the indigenous people? Who do you think the indigenous people is? That's us.
Us.
And we are not standing up and claiming what's ours. I even talked to the lawyer about suing the city of Chicago to reclaim the indigenous land. The lawyers here are even afraid.
Yeah, that's very political there.
I decided whatever land that I buy is going to be known as tribal land. I will be declaring citizenship, and it will not be a U.S. citizen.
Hello? Hello, Brother L.A.?
No, I'm listening.
Yeah, I just ran into a brother. He said he just built his first solar. Hold one moment.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
Hey, I'm well. How are you?
Fine.
Good, good, good. Yeah, I was telling her that I did my first solar system. I used three 100-amp China battery, and I hooked them up to the converter, and I actually ran it into, I put a breaker on the other side of my box, and I got it running in there. So, and I got 1,000 watt solar panels. I got five 200 watt panels.
Okay, where'd you buy it from?
Where did I buy it from? I bought the I bought my batteries offline. And I bought my solar panels from Renogy, which I wish I would have went ahead and just got the Harbor Freight, because after we start checking out the statistics, the Harbor Freight was just $100 instead of paying all that money for the Marine Energy panels. So if you want to do it, go with Harbor Freight and check out this China battery called Chai.
All right, well, Ram, get his information so we can keep in touch with him.
I'm going to leave my information with the sister.
Okay, great. I appreciate it. Right.
All right,
I'll
walk you all through. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Ray, so you want to put it down? You said the white golden? The white golden. Yeah, is she like that? Okay.
Well, now, Mama Evelyn, yeah, I know you got this event for next month. Do you hold it the same day every year?
Will do.
Do I what?
Do you hold the event the same day every year, July 31st?
Take care. Have a wonderful day.
Always the last Saturday in July.
Okay.
Always the last Saturday in July.
All right.
However, if I get this location that I'm going after, we will be having reclaiming our youth market more than once a year.
Oh, yeah, because, well, I like that whole idea. That sounds like something you can franchise.
I'll be talking to you about trying to get you to do one down there where you at.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, sign me up for that.
Okay. But I got to go, y'all, so L.A., I'll talk to you in the morning.
All right, appreciate it. Okay, thank you,
all right, Don, Reba, talk with y'all later.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay,
so Dr. Don just went inside. You need to take a break real quick. He stepped inside of Starbucks. So great show. Great show.
Yeah,
good stuff.
It,
you see how I network,
thank
right?
You
I'm like,
for, you're the producer of the day for the day. Executive producer. You lined all that up.
I
just
ran into one of my Spanish students, too.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I'm talking about. We got the online component, but you got the on-the-ground component. And with the people on the ground, we can really accelerate stuff. Particularly with, you know what, we talked 4 hours last night on Clubhouse.
Mm-hmm. If you can share that card. A Clubhouse, wow. I need to ask my...
that was 4 hours last night on Clubhouse.
This is Aisha. This is one of my former Spanish students from Little Black Pearl. And so she actually, are you working?
It's going to turn into mine. Now, are you going to Clubhouse?
So I will definitely introduce her to the idea of Clubhouse. You familiar with Clubhouse?
Right.
It's a fun app.
If we can hold that down. Are you going to do Clubhouse tonight, though?
So I'm going to do Clubhouse tonight, 6 o'clock, and I'm going to invite Aisha so that she can just share, maybe just a little bit. Yeah, and
That's good, because
what
we need to do is organize it where we got, you know, nobody's holding down the fort for 4 hours or whatever, because we got enough people and content that turn that into a radio station.
That's right. And I like the fact that you said Reba Radio, right?
Reba Radio.
I was trying to do something different. But I'm not going to hold Dr. Jackson too long. We've been meeting. I think we had a good meeting. I'll get some feedback from him. Just want to make sure that he's gotten everything that he needed from me. So we just took a pause. We started took a pause to come back to just follow up on what we were talking about so that we can get some funds circulating and into the organization to make this event and the Kwanzaa celebration event successful, as well as the projects in between. Reclaiming Our Youth Day is July 30th, and we'll share more about that. Call for more information. You can text for a link to my website at 773-449-8839. Again, the number is 773-449-8839 for more information. And catch us on Clubhouse tonight. The name of the club is Couples Building Wealth. So you can't have a community without a couple starting a family, making babies. And so we're starting with the family, Couples Building Wealth. We haven't set on a title as of yet.
No, you know, I've been talking about with Huey. You know, he, you know, Huey dropped some gems last night.
He did. He did. That was hot.
And
I want to thank our guests for calling in, Dr. Don Jackson of Community Peace Program.
Yeah, thank you,
as
Dr.
well as
John.
Evelyn Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. So I'll talk to you soon. We'll see you on tonight.
All right. I'll you know, Huey said he suggested some controversial titles. So, and they got them on Clubhouse, so we, you know, we get them in the room and go from there. Anyway, I'm going to shut it down for today, Reba. Thank you for producing
this
one. And because I know you got a plate full. All right. Everyone have a good day.
All right. You as well. Thank you.